Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Now, there are five different steps I said in the stages of life. If we are walking through the gates of God, we have decided that we are going to go by God's order. There are five different stages. The first one I began to speak about is that stage of sitting down. And let me just say some things to review it, and then I'll go into the next stage, which is the stage of the trial of your faith. Now, I said that in the stage of sitting down, what you're actually doing is that you are receiving God's thoughts and God's ideas. Let me explain something about what the Bible calls wisdom for salvation. Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me start from verse 14. He said, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings of the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, this is the point I want you to understand there. Now, when we talk about salvation, what God means by salvation is deliverance out of troubles. That if somebody was sick, salvation is healing for his body. If somebody was poor, salvation is the bringing of that man out of poverty into prosperity. If somebody was dying, salvation is to give him life again. Are you getting my point? A man who is confused, to him, salvation is that you give him direction in life. So Paul now wrote to Timothy that the scriptures, the word of God, is able to give you wisdom that produces salvation. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom means that you know what to do to get the right results. Are you getting my point? Wisdom is the application of knowledge that you have in such a manner that it profits you. That is the meaning of the word wisdom. So when a man is in a stage of sitting down, what he's doing is that he's getting, both from prayer and meditation, he's getting from God the wisdom for his salvation. That is, if he's going into business, to ensure the success of that business, he needs wisdom for salvation. Are you getting my point? To ensure success for his marriage, her marriage, before he or she steps into it, she must have wisdom for salvation. Wisdom is not just an imagination in the heart. Wisdom is practical things that you have to do to get the right results. Do you understand my point? For example, I'll give you this. This will just stir up your thinking, all right? Stir up your thoughts. Now, everybody calls his wife, his wife, honey, sugar, darling, you know, sweetie, butter, cream, anything. Are you getting my point? But one day I told my wife, I said, they are good. In fact, in the scriptures you see it, if you go and read Songs of Solomon, my beloved, their words are very good and they are righteous. I said, but do you understand that more than all of that, God said that the best name that a woman can call her husband is my Lord. Now, are you getting what I'm going to say? I'm just going to just tear up your thoughts that what is popular may not be the best according to God's standards. That God said concerning Sarah that her humility was demonstrated in the fact that she called her husband my Lord. Now, I'm talking about wisdom for salvation. David said that, "Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God." Listen to me. The way everybody has been doing something in life is not necessarily the right way. Let me give you an example. If you go to America now, they tell you that the divorce rate, even amongst Christians, is more than 50%. You don't just walk in there and say that, no, I will not divorce like everybody else. You first ask yourself, what are they doing wrong that's making them divorce? That's all. If you don't ask that kind of question, you will end up the same way in another 10 years. Nobody marries. Oh, don't let me say nobody. There are some crazy people, really. All right? But most people don't marry believing that the marriage will not work. The day they were getting married, the girl thought that this is the most wonderful man on the earth. Look, we shall live happily ever after. Ask her 5 years down the line, something has really gone wrong. Why? That's the question you must ask. And let me tell you the kind of answer you will get. The answer will basically show you that they are not doing it according to God's order. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the Bible says, "He that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption." So the first, you ask a very practical question. What am I supposed to do that these people are not doing that's causing all these divorces amongst them? It's called wisdom for salvation. You have heard it said that within the first 2 years, more than maybe 75% or 80% of businesses close. It's something around that. If I want to start business, first question is that what is it that people are doing wrong that's making their businesses close? These kind of questions, you ask them in your heart, in prayer, and then in meditation and study. What I mean by meditation and study is that you read materials. You understand? You read what other people are saying. For example, I'm a preacher. Long before I went into ministry, what have I not read? I have read everything Kenneth Hagin wrote in print on ministry. that I know of. I attended Bishop David Oyedepo's School of Ministry again and again. Even when I didn't go, I got the materials. Robert Sladen wrote God's Generals. I read the book cover to cover, watched the videotapes. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I saw, like Robert Sladen said in that book, he said, these are the mistakes that people make as ministers. And therefore, if you want to succeed where they failed, you must be sure you don't make those mistakes. That is what is called the stage of sitting down and counting. You must learn the mistakes of those who have gone ahead of you. It amazes me today when I see even amongst preachers, they are doing the same things I know causes preachers to die young. Are you getting my point? One day I went somewhere. I was joking with a friend of mine who invited me to go out, come and preach. We had seen some cracking jokes about money. And I said, okay, no problem. Now, if you raise money for me, I said, me raise money for you? You think I want to die young? I said, listen, my friend, I love my wife. I love my children. I don't want to be a dead preacher at a young age because I've made money the aim of my ministry. I said, I said, I know your wife also, and I don't want you to make her a widow. Better keep away from such things. Do you get my point? Now, I don't have to die first before I know that it's a bad thing. There are things I see people do as preachers. And I wonder, do you plan to succeed in this ministry? Or you want to fail like those who have gone ahead of you and failed in the same places? Listen, a lot of those who do things wrong, they do them wrong under pressure. Are you getting my point? The man who makes money is aim. He probably started when he was very broke. But I'll explain that to you in our next stage. Those are the times you really tell God your commitment. You don't give the pressures of life as an excuse ever. It doesn't work with God. You know, the other day I was that was quite some time ago, I was driving. It was a hot day, very hot, you know, typical hot tropical heat, you know what I'm saying? Sun was beating down hot, I was in my car was not air conditioned. And the heat was really dealing with me. Then I looked to my side and something struck me. I saw a tree. I mean, we see trees every day, but that day God gave me instructions from that. You understand? I saw the tree, the leaves were blowing, you know, it was rainy season. All right, so the leaves were clean, they were green in the heat, as hot as the heat was. The leaves were green. Then, of course, on the floor, you will see dry trees, that's dry sticks, dry leaves, inside the same heat. Then something dropped in my heart. I said, why is that leaf green? And I was feeling very uncomfortable. And on the floor, you find dry leaves because that tree has life. Are you getting my point? It's sapping in water. And the heat that you and I are complaining about is giving it the greenness. Without that sun, it wouldn't be green. Then I understood that Jesus said persecution, the type of persecution is sun. When he was talking about the parable of the sower. Therefore, any man who begins to dry up under persecution, it is because he has no life in himself. Do you get my point? You see, we're running up and I say, country is bad. That's why we're running away. It shows us, the Bible says that you have no strength. I don't know whether you get my point. If you are slack, if you are weak in the day of adversity, the Bible says your strength is small. Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. So, people who begin to do things that lead to destruction, they do them also because of pressure. They do them because they are already physically tired. That's why I'm emphasizing this stage of sitting down and counting. The time you build your strength is before you get to the time of trial. It is not because, it's not that you make up your mind. Let me go on to that. You don't just make up your mind. Yeah, I'm very strong. As a strong man, listen, my people have a saying that any man who shouts, I'm strong, obviously has never been to war. What am I trying to say? What you do, I said, you sit down and count in the place of prayer. Actually, what you do is that you sit down at that time and pray over such things. God, this is what I hear that people do in businesses. They cut their skills. They do this. But you have said in the scriptures that an unjust weight, differing weights, all right, what they mean by differing weights is that you use a small weight to buy and a heavy one to sell. Thereby you cheat the man you are buying from and you cheat the one you are selling to. He said, these things are an abomination to you, O God. I have read it in my Bible. All right, you have said that if any man defrauds his neighbor, you dislike, you know, you tell God all this kind of thing. And I have heard that in this particular business I am going into, these are the things that people do. I am saying before you, O God, I will not do them. Now, that is, you are dedicating yourself to God. There's something that does for you. In the time of pressure, it is the grace of God that will make sure you don't bow to pressure. But if you don't do these things before that time, you will have problems. You hear of people having marriage problems because of their father-in-laws or their mother's-in-law, and you think that things will be different in your case. It's possible, but you have to ask yourself, why? These are things you answer before you get married. You tell the young man you're about to marry, please, I've heard of quarrels, homes that break because of mother's-in-law. Now, how do we handle your mother? How do we handle my mother? Listen, if the person does not give you an answer that is in agreement with the word of God, please don't marry you, because your marriage is also coming to an end because of your mother-in-law or your own mother. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That is, what you get when you sit down is wisdom for salvation. Listen, one of the things you will learn later is this issue of not loving your lives unto death or the proper faith in God. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Maybe a young woman is going to school, pretty young girl, and they told her that, listen, there are some lecturers who, if they don't have with you, you are not going to pass. Before you enter that campus, you make up your mind. You know, sometimes when they tell me that some girls fall for that, I said the truth is that they don't count their body as anything. They are sleeping with every other man anyway, so why not the lecturer? If you really counted your body as something that is precious, the man is not telling you, sleep with me or fail. No, he's telling you, disobey God or please God. If you look at it like that, either a good certificate or God happy with you. If you look at it with that attitude, the decision is easy to make. You will tell the man to his face, go to hell. If it is this one that will make you remain alive, or God, you may as well die now. Now, you make those decisions before you step into such places. And then you go before God and say, this is the way I want to do my things. Or you are going to public office. You think you are a strong man, you are a pastor. Nobody can corrupt you. Listen, under pressure, any man can be corrupted if he does not have the grace of God backing him. So what do you do from the beginning? You sit down before God and say, dear Lord, this is what I have heard that happens here. I don't want to do this. According to the word of God, this is wrong, this is wrong. Are you getting my point? And I will not do it. Therefore, I'm dedicating myself to you, all right, at this point, that these are the dangers. I don't want to fall into them. That's what Jesus meant when he said, pray like this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That what he's saying in effect is that God strengthen us that we will not be the one to begin to do evil. That's what he was saying. Are you getting my point? Now, then God begins to give you, in your heart, ideas begins to come. You start having tangible ideas on how to tackle some issues. That express idea on how to do your own business or do your own politicking becomes your wisdom for salvation. For example, you are running for political office. You don't have to hire thugs. Are you getting my point? God will just say, simply, you, for your movements around, go to the commissioner of police, ask for official protection, and don't hire thugs. That becomes your own wisdom for salvation. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, if you do things the way everybody else has been doing it, you will get the results everybody else has been getting. Before you enter into any of life's adventures, you must get God's ideas. God said, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, it's when you get God's ideas, God's thoughts, God's ways of doing things, those are the things that we call wisdom for salvation. You will see that when Joseph interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, the next thing he told Pharaoh was what to do so as to avert the punishment that was going to come. That thing that he told Pharaoh was the wisdom for the salvation of the whole of Egypt, and not just Egypt, but those who are around Egypt. Are you getting my point? Listen, there are many things that God wants to bring to in life. But the problem he has had is that people he will have done those things through, they have not settled down to get his wisdom for salvation. Please, let me just summarize what I've said about wisdom for salvation. When I say wisdom for salvation, I'm referring to the specific things, the specific order and patterns that you will follow, that God will stimulate in your heart, that in your period of prayer and meditation, that it will come to your heart that this is the way I want to do my business. And that is put in line of the fear of God. Are you getting my point? Like I said, God will give you specific orders or specific methods that you will apply. And let me say this. At that point, it might not be popular. That the things that you are coming to may not be popular. Are you getting my point? Now, when I started putting our materials free on the internet for everybody to download, somebody said, then people won't come and buy the ones you are selling. I said, you don't get the point. My aim is not, I'm not selling this to make money. We are just recovering the cost of production in our sales. Therefore, if they will download it from the internet and not come to us, oh, well and good. Why? Because, and this is among the things you will bear in mind as you are plotting. What exactly is it that you want to achieve? I said, what am I trying to achieve? I'm trying to achieve what the scripture says, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. Therefore, I will not put any obstruction on the way of that happening. Are you getting my point? Because it's so important you have your own dreams and ideas conforming with what God really wants to do on the earth. Now, all these things you do in your season of sitting down and counting, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. The end of that sitting down and counting is the wisdom for salvation. That is, you will not have a vague idea at least, or a particular framework upon which you are going to build your business. Are you getting what I'm going to say? There is no man that will succeed greatly in business that will not have that kind of thing. Because there must be something, like, let me give you an example. If you're going to start a business, and maybe you are selling recharge cards, everybody is selling recharge cards. If you want to be outstanding, you ask yourself a question first. Why should they leave everywhere else and come and buy from me? I always say this about businesses. Any business you open will get patronage one time, at least. The difference between the successful business and the failure of a business is whether the customers will come back or they won't come back. If you open a mechanic workshop, one man who's desperate one day will walk into your shop and ask you to come and do something for him. The question is, will he call you a second time? So you ask yourself before you open that mechanic workshop, why should my customer go and yet come back? Are you getting my point? Listen, if you are doing businesses that require people coming, that's the question you must ask every time. Why should they come first time and then come back a second time? Why should they tell their friends? Why should they advertise for me? What will be the thing that they are getting from me that will make them want to come back? Before you do anything, you must have those services added to them into your project. Because that's the only thing that guarantees expansion. There must be something that somebody is getting from you that is not likely to easily get anywhere else. That's why you will leave all the other options and come there. Those are the things you put in mind at the beginning. It's called the wisdom for your salvation. Do you understand? Now, so that's our first phase, and I hope you have understood what I have said so far about that. Now, before I go today, I'd like to begin to speak about the second phase. The second phase is what I call the trial of your faith. Remember, we said there are five stages in every endeavor in life, and we're talking about cooperating with each phase so that we can get the best out of life. We can get success in the things that we are doing. Don't forget, God has created it in the heart of everybody. Satisfaction comes from success. Are you getting my point? Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, and then your joy will be full. Satisfaction comes from having achieved a result. And we are discussing how to achieve this result God's way. We said there are five stages. The first one we have mentioned is the stage of sit down and count, in which you sit down and you make up your mind on how exactly you want to go about your endeavor. And then the second stage is what I call the trial of your faith. Now, when I talk about a trial of your faith, what am I talking about? Quickly open to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. It said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, this is the point I want to bring out from here. Now, faith must always be tested. I said something at the beginning, that's when we're talking about sitting down and counting, that what you are getting is the mind of God, the order of God, the way by which God wants things done. And a man who is adhering to the order of God or God's method is somebody that is said to be walking in faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, you want to go into marriage. You have said that this is the way I am going to order my marriage because I have discovered it from the word of God. That God is not doing marriage the way everybody does it, but God has ordered that marriage be conducted in a particular form, and have learned that form, and I am going to use it, and my marriage will be successful, so help me God. Do you understand that point? Then, after said that, the first thing that will begin to occur once you begin to operate that is that trials will come as a result of your faith. If you read from Mark chapter 4, Jesus was talking about the seed that was sown by the wayside, the one that did not have deepness of earth or depth of soil, and as soon as it germinated, the sun began to shine. He said when the sun arose, that it withered quickly because it did not have depth of earth. Now, what did Jesus mean there? He said that when persecution comes as a result of the word, they quickly wither away. What am I trying to say? That in life, Satan doesn't just leave you to get the order of God and then continue on the order of God without trying to bring you back to his own order. Are you getting my point? So, if you begin to do things in your own righteous way, first thing that will begin to happen is that pressures will come in the environment to try and bring you to the other people's side. Let me give you a practical example. So, you want to do business, like we said, you are selling electrical parts, you are not selling anything fake. Listen, I've heard this from traders before. He said, you put the fake one there, you make maybe 5 times the amount of money on that one, not just because of profit, but because of volume of turnover, all right, that you will have made on the other one that is genuine, that's beside it. When you start out in business and you say, no, I am not dealing with fake products. I am not dealing in substandard goods. I am going to be known that this is the wisdom for my salvation, that those who buy things from me will continue coming and coming and coming. Incidentally, something like that happened recently. If you listen to us last week, that man I referred to, that I said that, he said he bought a lot of fake things and they have really burnt him, that he lost a lot of money from doing it. I said, let me give you the name of one man who you can buy from. He said, is it so and so person? He mentioned the name. I said, yes, that's the name of the person I was going to give you. He said, oh, somebody else has already given me his name. He said, they told me that the man is reliable. That if he points to something for you and say, this is good. He said, the man is a bit of the middle age elderly. I said, yes. He said, yes, I have met him. That I have heard that if he says something is good, then it is good. Are you getting my point? That is, the wisdom for his salvation is his integrity and the reliability of his word. One day I went to buy parts in the market. And the young man who was selling to me, I told him that, how am I sure this is good? He said, listen. He pointed to a number of other parts dealers around. He said, they all trained in this particular shop. Now, he was a young boy also in training there. He said, my boss trained all these people. He said, if he had been a deceptive man, he wouldn't be here till today. I said, that is wisdom. That is truth. He said, here, if my boss tells you this is good, he said, you can bet anything on it. He said, that's how he has been in this business for decades. You get what I mean by wisdom for salvation. Now, before you stand on those words, this is the trial of your faith. You will see a man who started business after you build a house before you. You will see him buy something that you are still, for you, is a matter of prayer point, and is buying it from the proceeds of that same business. That's when your faith starts getting tried. And if you are lucky enough to have married a nonsense woman, hi, she will now start telling you stories. Or you have not yet instructed your wife well, maybe. All right? She starts telling you stories. Ah, look at your friend. Or even your own father may be the one to explain to you that this righteousness you claim you are doing is not favoring you or us. Are you getting my point? Suddenly you see your wife tells that the school your children are going to, they are not the kind of schools you would like her kids to go to because you can't afford something better. That what has righteousness paid us in this house? Remember I said something with that program where it was on air some time ago. I talked about righteousness. That righteousness is not for getting. Righteousness is just for righteousness. We don't do righteousness because that's the way we get. We do righteousness because our aim in life is to be pleasing to God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you stick with that. Actually, why God allows that to happen is that he has to test the sincerity of your faith. It must be demonstrable. Because God looks at Job and he told Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? God bragged on Job. Are you getting my point? God does not bless people he cannot brag on. You follow my point? And he must demonstrate that your faith is genuine. You yourself must know that your faith is genuine. And the only way you know faith that is genuine is that it stands in the face of trial. Are you getting my point? You have decided as a man that your wife is indeed going to be your helpmate. Your wife and you are going to be indeed one flesh. Listen, if you are very close to your mother, your problem has just begun. Are you getting my point? Because suddenly you are putting restriction on her in your house that she did not have before you got married. And listen to me, if you don't put restrictions on your mother in your home, she will be the problem you will be solving the rest of your life. Because after she has sown bad seeds in your life, even if she died, your wife will find it hard to get out of her mind that she's second in your heart. You get my point? To your mother. And listen, you can never have success in marriage if your wife is second in your heart to your mother. You can never have it. I remember one boy told me a story of one young woman once. That before she married the wealthy man she married, that the man explained to her how much his mother suffered for him. How his mother endured a lot of persecutions and a lot of trials for his sake. Because his father died quite early. And now told the young woman that, listen, for that reason, I love my mother very much. And if you want to last in this house, don't cross my mother. I said, she still married him, then she's a real foolish girl. Listen, The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and unite himself to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. What about the mother that suffered for him? She takes her proper place in his life, second to his wife. Listen, I have a wife and have children. I love all my children, but they are not as important to me as my wife is. Are you getting what I'm going to say? I have a mother, I have a father. They are not as important to me as my wife is, but does it mean I don't love them? It doesn't. That my wife is first amongst all of them does not mean that they cannot feel my love just as much. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. But you see, we must put first things first. What was now unfortunate for her was that the first two children she had were girls, and the mother decided that she didn't have children yet. That's why I heard the story. But one credit you give to the young man is that he told her ahead of time. So the girl said, right now, all she's looking for in her life is to have a baby boy. If she has 10 children before she gets it, as long as that... No, you are getting what I'm going to say. As long as that mother is not pleased. Listen, if that kind of person, man, was to believe in Christ Jesus and tells the mother that, mommy, I love you, I know you have tried for me, but you see, as far as God is concerned, this is the most important person in my life. The mother will fall sick. You know that? And some people will call you wicked. She will call you names. She will say, how after everything I've suffered for you, and if you're a parent, you are listening to me, those are words you must never use. It is called witchcraft. Witchcraft does not mean you go to a coven and bow your head down and be making sacrifices. When you try to manipulate people with such emotional blackmail, what you are practicing is witchcraft. Mothers love to do it. After everything I've done for you, listen, a mother is supposed to sacrifice for his children. And I will also sacrifice for my own children. You don't tie a leech to my waist all the rest of my life because you suffered for me. I'm suffering right now for my own kids. It's an assignment we all have in the presence of God. God has commanded each person to suffer for his children. So if you suffered for your child, you have not done anything extraordinary. You have just done what is right. Those who do not go the extra mile for their kids are useless parents. So you shouldn't go around bragging that you are not a useless parent. You should look, for you to do good for your kids is a normal thing. It's not an admirable thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you want to know whether you are a real good person, is go and suffer for another person's child. Jesus said it like that. He said, if you love those that love you, what praise have you? I'm not giving you my thoughts. Those are the thoughts of Jesus Christ. They are not my ideas. I hope you are getting the point I'm going to make. Now, that's what is called a trial of your faith. But let me tell you something. It is called a trial. They are just trying. Do you understand my point? You won't die there. The people who dislike you today, they will reunite with you tomorrow. I remember some of the principles when I was teaching my wife then. Yeah, she wondered, look, is that not being too hard? Then when she began to see the result of those who did not practice it, she began to love me some more. That there are things that people will tell her, she will just say boldly, with my husband, that cannot happen. And there's nothing a woman wants more in life, a wife, more than for her heart to trust completely in her husband, to know that she has security in his presence. I hope you are getting the point I'm going to make here. All this, I hope, is making sense to you. That is, these are trials. The trials come from many quarters. It comes from lack of money. It comes from pressures from loved ones, those who supposedly mean well for you. They will tell you that, look, I know this is your faith, I know your Christianity, but don't you think you should use some wisdom? What they are trying to tell you is that you should compromise a bit. And listen to me, life is in phases. That's what we're trying to talk about. When you are in that phase, just know that it will soon end. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Notice the word, though I pass through. I am not staying there. Are you getting my point? I'm just passing through the valley of the shadow of death. And the beauty about things that you pass through is that you eventually come out of them. All right? If you are obeying God, people might dislike you for a while, but eventually they will love you when they see the results of it. The Bible says that if the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. I hope you have understood what I've said. Now, I'll continue on this matter next time.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.